sick and tired of hearing the finger.
Welcome to Truth Jihad Radio, the pre-holidays edition. Actually, it's not just pre-holidays, it is holidays because today is the Japanese Emperor's birthday. Yesterday was the first day of winter. Last week was Hanukkah. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. And 1 week from today is Eid al-Adha, the biggest holiday on the Islamic calendar. So we're going to be celebrating tonight with some real serious good times. And before I introduce tonight's guest, let me say that I want to give away some holiday gifts. Even though I'm a Muslim, I'm not a Christmas celebrating Christian, although I do celebrate with my family by going and hanging out with them a little bit. But I want to give you some really cool stuff. So if people want a gift from Mujka.com, the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth, just send us some stamps and we will send you really neat stuff. And really, you know, it depends how many stamps you send us, what we can send you. You just send a first-class stamp, maybe I can get a bumper sticker in there. So send us some stamps at P.O. Box 221 Lone Rock, Wisconsin. That's Mujka, M-U-J-C-A, P.O. Box 221 Lone Rock, Wisconsin. Tell us what you thought about tonight's radio show, and we will send you some fun stuff. It could be DVDs. It could be bumper stickers. It could be buttons. It could be all kinds of cool 9/11 Truth stuff. And we're just giving it away. Just send us some stamps, and we'll send you back holiday gifts. And tonight, we're having a celebration with one of my favorite people in the 9/11 Truth movement, Mr. John Gold. Are you there on the line yet, John?
Yes, I am, Kevin. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, pretty good. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing fantastic.
You're all primed for a serious night of 9/11 Truth Talk?
Yeah, I'm here for you.
All right. So, I was really pleased to run into you and talk to you at the Boston event, the 9/11 Truth Tea Party that we had just a couple of weeks ago.
I wasn't at that one, Kevin. I was at the Philadelphia 9/11 Tea Party.
That's right. You were at the Philly one. That's right.
Right. I think you're talking about Damon or Radical Pragmatism.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah. When did I saw you in New York. I'm sorry.
Right.
Is that right?
You saw me at Ground Zero at the fifth.
That's the last time I saw you in New York.
Right.
Yeah. Were you in D.C.?
No, I was not in D.C. I'm sorry?
I'm getting a little confused about, you know, I've been running around doing these talks.
and, I understand.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to be talking tonight about some of the work that you've been doing for the victim families and the cause of their trying to get truth and justice. And of all the people in the country who've been hurt after 9/11, I would say that, you know, they're the ones who've been hurt the most, and they're the ones that have the most serious moral authority to be asking for truth and justice.
Well, in regards to the family members, people need to put things in perspective. These were the original members of the 9/11 Truth Movement. They were the individuals who were lobbying Washington, D.C. in order to create an independent commission because the Joint Congressional Inquiry was a failure, let's say. There were 28 redacted pages within the Joint Congressional Inquiry, and the families had thousands of well-researched questions that they wanted answered. As a matter of fact, here's a quote I have from Thomas Keene, the chairman of the 9/11 Commission. They monitor us, they follow our progress, they supplied us with some of the best questions we've asked. I doubt very much if we would be in existence without them. So that's from the chairman himself.
All right, so the least he could have done was to make sure that they answered those questions, huh?
That would have been the least he could have done.
But, you know, they're going to cut us off right now, John. So we're going to be back after the commercials. So hang in there, folks. all the people asking for some 9/11 truth. Imagine if Thomas Keene would not only thank the family members for their good questions, but would actually answer them. I don't know. Would that be nice, John?
That would be wonderful. one of the reasons I wanted to talk about the family tonight is because of this misconception people have about the 9/11 truth movement. I think a lot of individuals feel that members of the movement, you know, got into this because they thought it would be exciting and interesting and so forth, and that's just not the case. We are doing this because in the very beginning there were signs of cover-up. For instance, this is a quote from Patty Casaza. It was President Bush who thwarted our attempts at every turn. And you're going to tell me that that isn't the sign of an administration who doesn't want to hide things? You know, so it was the cover-up and different aspects of the cover-up that got us all concerned, that got us all into this, I think, from the beginning. You know, you wonder why people like Glenn Beck and Ann Coulter attacked the family members. It's some of the quotes I'm going to be reading tonight, you'll understand why. I mean, they're very powerful. These individuals were the families who attended every single commission. They know probably more than most people within the 9/11 truth movement. And to hear them say, for instance, here's a joint statement from Kristen Brattweiser, Patty Casaza, Monica Gabrielle, Eve Feinberg, and Lori Van Elken. As 9/11 widows who fought tirelessly the creation of the 9/11 Commission, we are wholly disappointed to learn that the Commission's final report is a hollow failure. You know, what does that make you think of?
Yeah, it's a failure is bad enough, but a hollow failure, that's actually pretty accurate, because if you actually look at the documentation that they're putting forth for the tale they tell, there isn't anything inside, so it is hollow.
Exactly. So, you know, people get angry at us for trying to answer these unanswered questions, but the reason we're trying to do that is because the government refuses to do so. So...
Right, and we have to be pretty, at this point, I think, the writing is kind of on the wall about what appears to be their reasons for not doing so, because there appears to have been some serious complicity on their part for the events of 9/11, and we do now know that the background of the people involved in Bush's 9/11 cabinet, people from the Project for a New American Century, starting with Cheney and Rumsfeld, who asked, you know, wanted a new Pearl Harbor and said so a year before it happened. There's this neoconservative movement that goes back to the 1960s of people wanting to destroy representative democracy in the United States, liberal democracy, and then turn it into a presidential dictatorship by way of a Pearl Harbor-like event. That's a direct quote from somebody who went to school with Wolfowitz in the 1960s.
It's interesting to note that Rebuilding America's Defenses, the document that, the quote, further the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to lead to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. You know, the phrase process of transformation appeared 27 times in the Rebuilding America's Defenses document. Do you think?
You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, 27 times. If you were to write that back in elementary school, you'd be chastised, or you'd get a low grade for using that expression so often. So do you think that this process of transformation was important to them? Of course it was. Because they're making millions and billions of dollars for the military contracts, military companies, and so forth. So the you know, people ask who benefited from 9/11. It's not very hard to figure out once you start looking at the money that's being made by certain companies, certain individuals. Dick Cheney, for instance, got a 3,000% spike in his Halliburton stock that he supposedly no longer had, according to him. You know.
Yeah, so. that's probably a lot more money than Bin Laden made, I would think.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see.
Yeah. So, you know, we do have a caller on the line already.
Oh, good.
So we probably better get to him because we may have some more lining up for you soon. So, Clinton from Wisconsin, are you there? Hello, Clinton.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how are you doing?
Not bad. I had to stay here in Milwaukee and freeze down on December 16th, and we burned a bunch of them phony congressional reports while you were in Boston. So I'm jealous.
Hey, good for you.
I'm jealous.
Well, thank you very much for your efforts in Milwaukee. You know, 9/11 Blogger covered a lot of the tea parties that were taking place on the 16th. And Milwaukee, they read from a scroll, I believe, didn't you?
Yeah, this fellow that put it together, his name was Matthew, and he did a bang-up job. He put a real effort into helping put things into perspective, but I have something that very critically important that needs to be said, okay?
Go ahead and say it.
Right now we're involved in trying to win the hearts and the minds of masses of people who are really helped to understand that we're involved in the pursuit of the truth. And the realm of speculation that the towers did this or speculation on our part that the plane didn't do that is not based upon sound factual evidence that's acceptable within all of the realms of discourse, okay? And I know Kevin understands where I'm coming from because he knows Mr. Fetzer, who's put all these years into critical theory. All these things have to be tested. They called it the scientific method when I went to school. You come up with a hypothesis. You have your peers test the hypothesis. And if you can replicate the same results, you have established an indefatigable fact that's based on science. All right? Now, the next thing that we need to do, gentlemen, is we need that applied to the information that's available to us at the website wtc.nist.gov. That's the World Trade Center National Institute for Science and Technology.gov. The Congress paid them $16 million over the course of several 2 or 3 years to produce reports. They were the organizers of all the engineering and fire-based studies and this and that went on. We need studied academic and principled men to come forth who have experience in that professional and academic application. And I have some to stand on a leg myself. Now, I'm looking for more support because the stuff's right there for us. If you load that webpage at wtc.nist.gov, they've got a picture there of the stack of the paper in their report to the Congress that phony report from Congress was alleged to have been developed from. The stack of paper is a meter or thereabouts high. They got a DVD standing up in elevation so you can get a perspective of the scale of how high that paper is. And I contend now that in asking for support, what I'm asking for people to do is to come together and focus on this next step. If we're going to be involved in continuing to discussing anything with regards to the forensics of the events, I contend we have to do this. What say you guys?
You're saying we have to take on the NIST report?
That's correct. And that will help me, for example, Kevin, in that report, if I had access to the drawings that have to be in there, for example, they're probably in PDF format on a DVD of elevation drawings of the structural framing for Building 7. I could help people understand why that building was not conducted in a progressive collapse without the help of some nefarious and insidious behind-the-scenes help.
Well, Clinton, as I understand it, that NISD report, they have changed their story a little bit. But essentially what they've done now is they've produced a model of what could conceivably have led up to an initiation of this collapse that they're supposedly describing. But they don't go on to explain, you know, how the collapse itself happened, what happened after this initiation. The initiation that they posit has to do with the fireproofing getting knocked off or blasted off of a few areas of the structural steel by the shrapnel, the plane supposedly turning into shotgun-like shrapnel. And this somehow, you know, by wildly exaggerating likely temperatures that were there, they've come up with a way that they can explain supposedly the beginning of the collapse, but they can't explain what actually happened there. If you look at what actually Yeah. Why don't you stay over? So we'll be right back after the break here, folks. Don't go away. It's Kevin Barrett with John Gold and Clinton from Wisconsin. Hang in there. Welcome back to Truth Jihad Radio. Kevin Barrett talking to John Gold tonight. John's one of the nation's leading 9/11 truth activists. He's worked with family members. He's done other great work with 9/11 Blogger. Go to 911blogger.com. You can see some of the great stuff he's done. And we're talking with Clinton in Wisconsin, who's saying that we need to deal with the massive but massively inadequate NISD report. And as I was telling Clinton, that report, as I understand, I haven't read the whole thing. I doubt if anybody ever has or will. But basically what it does is it shows or it claims to show that what it thinks might have happened as structural steel was supposedly weakened and made to bow or bend or buckle inwards after it had lost its fireproofing from the planes. And so they have these diagrams of this alleged inward buckling, and then they just say global collapse ensued, but they don't describe how it ensued. So this whole report, according to people who look closely at it that I trust, people like Kevin Ryan, the Underwriters Labs guy who was fired for blowing the whistle on the cover-up that was going on with Underwriters, it sounds like that this, what they basically did was turn out this gigantic pile of paper that nobody could possibly read, that doesn't even pretend to explain what really happened. All it pretends to explain is how there could have been a structural steel failure on one floor. And that hypothesis, according to Kevin Ryan and others, is extremely improbable. That is, it's extremely improbable that there even could have been this failure at this one floor, much less, you know, the actual event, these towers, the twin towers coming down at roughly free fall speed in an explosive manner with structural steel members being blasted upwards and outwards for hundreds of feet in all directions, and pyroclastic flows, which are characteristic only of nuclear explosions and volcanic eruptions, blasting outward as most of the contents of the twin towers did not come down. It was turned into dust in this extremely high energy process. So this NISD report apparently doesn't deal with what happened there. It deals with an imaginary version of what could conceivably have happened in some alternate reality, simply, you know, a couple of floors of these buildings.
See, Kevin, I couldn't agree more, and this is the whole point. Now, Fetzer knows, he'll hear a statement like that, as will I, and I'll hear an assertion, and I'll want to test your assertion. And the only way to test your assertion and come to a rational conclusion of the truth of what you just said is to have enough knowledge about the NISD report to find out what is ambiguous. And as a matter of fact, start to go into the libraries and where you have access, where we all have access through our public libraries and our university libraries to these wonderful databases, and you meet these wonderful people called librarians, and you tell them, I would like to help with a database search for all articles, abstracts, from the month September 2001 until the month December 2006 for the magazine Architectural Record. Also, I'd like the same abstracts from the magazine Engineering News. And what you'll find, Kevin, and your guest, you'll find that these licensed people that I call the fascists, which I'd love to be able to air out for help people understand how deeply fascism has embedded itself into our former society. But anyhow, the architects themselves are being quoted, and the engineers themselves are being quoted, having read through these studies. So I disagree with you say nobody has or could, because somebody had to at several times just to get them developed and put out. These were all developed by hundreds of people from dozens of agencies, and architects are involved in them because of their licensing requires them to do that.
You're talking about actually producing these documents or people just looking them over? Because as I heard from Kevin Ryan, the number, a pretty small group of people was responsible for the FEMA report, and then for actually there were kind of two versions of the FEMA report, and then this latest NIST report. It's all basically the same five people that have done all this. They're the same people who covered up Oklahoma City.
Okay, well, I've worked for well over 8 to 12 years as an architect with computers. I've been in management, and I know what type of people are required to do those types of studies and reports because I used to get paid for it, and it could amount to many, and it could be a few, in fact, but I don't want to argue that because
well, yeah, they obviously
really
hired
right
people.
Now, but that's part of what we're involved in, sir, isn't it? The pursuit of the truth.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Kevin, try to contact me sometime through metromilwaukee.com, where you could send me mail if you would, because we're regional buddies here, and it's good for people from Wisconsin to have tighter connections and networking capabilities, and I'd like to do anything I can through that domain to help the people involved in a pursuit of the truth achieve more readily successful results.
Well, thanks, Clinton. I appreciate it, and great job on that Milwaukee Tea Party event. And we'll be back talking with John Gold and in just a few moments. So stay with us, folks. There's more coming right up.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Instant karma is going to get you guys, you conspirators, you New World odoriferers, you criminals, you Dick Cheney war profiteers and fascists, because, you know, we're on your tail. We're coming after you. This is Kevin Barron on Truth Jihad Radio. I'm speaking with John Gold. We were talking about the fact that the family members of the victims of 9/11 realize that they're being lied to, and John has been offering us some quotes from some of those family members. Do you have any more for us?
I have a plethora of quotes for you tonight, Kevin. Here's one quote regarding Philip Zelikow from Kristen Brettweiser. It is clear that Zelikow should never have been permitted to be a member of the commission. It is the mandate of the commission to identify the source of failures. We can now see that trail would lead directly to the staff director himself. And this is a man who was recently confronted about the July 10th, 2001 meeting between Cooper Black, Tennant, and Rice, and refused to comment. And I think within a couple of days of that, he stepped down from his position from the State Department underneath Condoleezza Rice. You know, he was one of the individuals who was rewarded for their efforts. He was given a position underneath Condoleezza Rice. But now he's gone. And I would love to get the chance to talk to Philip and ask him so many different questions. Why, you know, why were you put in charge of this commission, Philip? You know, you're a self-described expert at creating quote-unquote public myths, and you have clear conflicts of interest in regards to the investigation. You were a member of the Bush transition team. You were friends with Condoleezza Rice prior to the administration coming into office. You wrote a book with Condi. You wrote the pre-Iraq war strategy. There were many conflicts of interest, and the family members called for Philip Zelikow's resignation and were denied. And I think Tom King made a statement that said that each member of the commission would have to recuse themselves at one time or another. And that's just unacceptable. You know, we wanted an independent investigation, and what we got was an investigation controlled completely by the Bush administration.
And Zelikow not only is a self-described academic expert in the creation and maintenance of public myths, but he also co-authored a 1998 Foreign Affairs magazine article on the likely social and political consequences of a devastating terrorist attack on the United States, such as the destruction of the World Trade Center. So he was onto that in 1998. Foreign Affairs magazine, of course, is the leading journal for the people who really run U.S. foreign policy. That is the Council on Foreign Relations and the Rockefeller Connected Trilateral Commission. The behind the scenes people who politicians are basically, you know, dancing puppets for. So,
well,
yeah.
He was also a member of the Aspen Strategy Group, which was with Judith Miller, and some of the neocons were familiar with, I think, Dick Cheney and so forth. But, yeah, I mean, this is a gentleman who should not have been anywhere near this investigation, let alone in control of it. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah, when they fired Kissinger, when Kissinger was proposed, and then everybody rolled around on the floor laughing, and they yanked him. And I guess Bush must have been looking for somebody even worse than Kissinger, and he found him.
Kissinger resigned once the family members confronted him. I think it was Lori Van Auk in his offices in New York who confronted him about his business dealings with people called Bin Laden, with the name Bin Laden, and he did not want to disclose the information, and as a result, he resigned his position. And then they got Tom King, who I think Alternate described Tom King as someone that would be easily controlled by the Bush administration. And they got Lee Hamilton, who had a history of cover-ups, has a history of not holding anybody accountable. If you look back, the Iran-Contra affair, I think he was the chairman of that investigation, and he did not want to hold anyone accountable because he thought it would have been bad for the country. And so these are the individuals who were put in charge. Well, they were the window dressing. All of the members of the commission were the window dressing. It was the staffers and Zelikow and it was Dietrich Snell who were pretty much in charge of the investigation or handled the investigation.
Yeah, that whole committee was really a bunch of the usual suspects. Besides, you know, Keenan Hamilton, who just described, John Lehman is a protege of Henry Kissinger's. Bob Carey is a PNAC associate, and he helped cover up the Bush White House callboys scandal when he was governor of Nebraska. Richard Benveniste was Barry Steele's lawyer. Barry Steele was the notorious CIA drug smuggler who was gunned down at a stoplight in Baton Rouge. After he had turned on Benveniste and was going to start informing on him, and on and on and on. You can see, you know, they stacked that committee with people that could be pretty well trusted to sweep things under the rug. Listen, we do have a caller. It's Cassia from Portland, Oregon. Are you still with us, Casilla?
Yeah, I am. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Casilla.
Pretty good.
Good.
How are you?
Casilla, I'm doing all right.
A regular blogger at 9/11 Blogger.
That's where I know John from. And actually, I'm just calling to say thank you to John. I'm a relatively new truther. It's been like about a year that I've been interested in, about 6 months that I've been doing my own research in earnest. And John is just an incredible resource for somebody who is trying to look into 9/11 for themselves.
Thank you.
Through his own website, you can communicate with him, which I figured out within, I don't know, about a couple of weeks of being on 9/11 Blogger. And if you have any kind of question, you can PM him, and generally it's like 5 minutes later he gets back to you with an answer. So he is just a real treasure to the truth movement. And I just wanted to say thanks to him. And, of course, thank you to you too, Kevin, because every time I've seen you on TV, I've just been extremely gratified.
Yeah, well, thank you, Casilla. If people do want to talk to you, John, how should they find you? Or
you can email me. Just email me at gold9472@comcast.net. And, you know, provided I don't have 1,000 emails that day, I probably will get back to you. Or you just go to my site, yourbbsucks.com, and just IM me or post a comment and say hello.
That's right. Yeah, yourbbsucks.com.
Right. And so, yeah, I'm easily accessible. And I like it that way. I mean, why are we learning all of this information if we're not going to share it? You know,
that's right.
We're going to keep it all to ourselves. Ooh.
Yeah, I appreciate people who come out, you know, under their own names especially, and are accessible. You know, the kind of people that are stirring up trouble in 9/11 Truth are usually, you know, they're anonymous. You know, you don't know who they really are, and they're, you know, they just kind of show up and act like trolls.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, John.
Well, DZ posted not too long ago that there are individuals who come to 911blogger.com and argue with themselves with different names, different anonymous names. They set up an argument. It's really hysterical. They set up, screw you. No, screw you. Whatever they say, they present both sides of the argument, and then they just start trouble. So we're trying to get rid of anonymous posting at 911blogger.com so that kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I think the whole anonymous posting thing really favors people who are promoting paranoia, because they just pretend, oh, I'm so paranoid that something terrible will happen to me if I have to be anonymous. And then those are the same people who are always insulting each other and, as you say, sometimes insulting themselves under different names.
It's just so ridiculous. You have to laugh at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the PSYOPs people are working hard, and maybe there's some schizoid folks out there, too, who aren't getting a paycheck from Uncle Sam. They're just doing this for fun. Who knows?
Well, I believe there are people who are too afraid, or for whatever reason, psychologically, just don't want to look at this information, and are so angry that we're even promoting the idea that our government was complicit in the attacks. It just angers them to no end. So they, in order to... God, they call us 9/11 deniers. In order for them to deny the obvious truths that the 9/11 truth movement promotes, you know, that's what they do. They just deny it. They don't want to look at it. They don't answer any questions. One of my favorite questions to ask, quote unquote, debunkers is the United States government perpetrating a cover up in regards to the attacks of 9/11? Because there are a multitude of cover-ups in regards to the 9/11 attacks. So how honest are our debunkers being when they call us 9/11 deniers, when they say we're America haters, when, you know, whatever they say? They're not being honest. You know, as I said, we got into this because of the cover-ups, because of the lack of transparency in our government. You know, why, if they have, as Bob Bowman says, if they have nothing to hide, then why do they hide everything?
Right. I think that any reasonable person who takes a look at the 9/11 Commission report and looks at the other sources, you know, very quickly has to admit that there's a major obvious cover-up going on. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of time to figure that out.
Well,
and in fact, people admit, a lot of people admit that real fast. when, but then they go into denial about, well, what does that mean and what should I do about it?
Right. Well, again, if they do accept what we're saying, then they have to make a decision to get off of their ass and change their lifestyle to do something about it or do nothing. But honestly, I can't see how somebody could look at this information and not become motivated to do something about it. I mean, there were 2,973 plus people murdered on that day. And as a result, we've got the wars, we've got our loss of civil liberties, we've got the bankrupting of the nation. We've got all kinds of things. We've got the rich becoming richer. And, you know, I said today, I posted something today on 911blogger.com. We have 9/11 affected us so much that we have a period of time named after it, and it's called the post 9/11 world. And you expect us to not question this world-changing event and those who are lying to us about it? Come on now.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole post 9/11 world thing, that's because myths typically, you know, they're sacred narratives. You know, I've studied this as a folklorist. The myths separate time into a before and an after, and the before is sort of a nebulous prehistory or world of chaos, and then the after is this world that we're in now. And the myth justifies the world that we're in now, the whole new world that's been created. And just as, you know, and they're just sacred stories. They don't have to be false. The Christian myth, you know, separates time into before Christ, B.C., and, you know, and the common era is what we call it now, the whole new world. And likewise, in Islam, we have the mythic events of the Revelation. And so the Islamic calendar begins with the emigration to Medina. There's, you know, everything before that is the age of ignorance, the age of Jahiliyyah, everything after that is the age of Islam. I mean, all sacred stories do that. And so these experts in mythology who scripted, as I believe, 9/11, planned this whole new world for us, and they planned a kind of, you know, Pearl Harbor-style, you know, mythical event that would create precisely the whole new world that they wanted. And that's why it's just so diabolical to have somebody like Zelikow be the head of the 9/11 Commission when he's precisely the kind of guy that must have written the script for the terrorist attack in the first place.
Did you ever see The Gypsy confront Philip Zelikow? There's a movie online of someone called The Gypsy who's friends with Carol Burleigh, who confronted Philip Zelikow at this lecture, and she got up and she just started blurting out facts about what was omitted and so forth, and you should have seen the look on his face. He was absolutely terrified. it's one of my favorite videos. Anyway.
Yeah, The Gypsy confronts Zelikow. That sounds like a good one.
Oh, it's a classic. And I think
these people are terrified.
I think she did it again for Richard Benveniste, confronting him as well. And what happens is these individuals, just like John Connor, get pulled out of whatever room they go into, kicking and screaming, talking about these facts. Clinton called up, and he's talking about controlled demolition. And I think a lot of people focus on controlled demolition because they feel that that is the evidence that 9/11 was, quote, an inside job. And I don't even like that expression. I usually say elements within our government were complicit in the attacks. Controlled demolition is just one aspect of this. If you look at the 9/11 report itself, you know, I've been saying for a long time that that in itself has become a piece of evidence. For everything they omitted, everything they distorted, and everything they lied about in the 9/11 report, it has now become a piece of evidence. In fact, I've been trying to talk to Phil Berg and some other lawyers about obstruction of justice. Would we be able to get the Bush administration with obstruction of justice? You know, they underfunded the committee. They withheld pertinent documentation from the 9/11 commission. They fought against the family members. They underfunded it. And they did all of these things that prevented the 9/11 Commission, not that they would ever do it, but from fulfilling their mandate, which was to give a full and complete accounting of the attacks of 9/11. So the 9/11 report itself has become a piece of evidence.
That's right. It's a very, very strong piece of evidence.
And they printed so many copies for us.
Right, yeah, for obstruction of justice, for malfeasance, dereliction of duty for the commissioners, as well as for a whole lot of government people. You know, if you believe in 9/11 Commission, we should be prosecuting a whole bunch of FAA people, a whole bunch of NORAD people, a whole bunch of FBI people and others for gross dereliction of duty.
Right, but who were the commissioners considering filing criminal charges against? It wasn't the FAA.
That's right. It was NORAD, wasn't it?
Yep, it was NORAD.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. The commissioners actually considered filing criminal charges for perjury against the leading members of the armed forces of the United States of America,
right.
That is the NORAD people who presumed to give an explanation for why there was no response from America's air defense networks on 9/11 until it was way too late, almost an hour and a half of sitting around doing nothing. Normally they intercept any off-course airliner in about 20 minutes. And they get offered three completely, radically different and incompatible explanations for that. And they offered two of them, contradicting themselves to the 9/11 commission, which is why those commissioners just revealed last summer that at the time they considered filing perjury charges. So, okay, John, well, we'll be talking a little bit more about what the family members think, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. So hang in there with us, folks. On the phone won't leave me alone either. I've got callers stacked up from here to Northern California. This is Kevin Barron on Truth Jihad Radio talking with John Gold, who's got this great website here, bbsucks.com, and he's also one of the, shall we say, the co-conspirators over at 9/11 Blogger, this terrific 9/11 website that's really transformed 9/11 blogging by being the first and the best in so many cases. But we have a long list of callers, starting with Greg from Indiana. Are you there, Greg?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah. Hi, Kevin. Hi, John.
Hey,
nice to talk to both of you. I have a question. I've done a little research on 9/11, and I've come across the Cincinnati newspaper article that was printed on 9/11 that said the Cleveland mayor had said that the Flight 93 had landed in Cleveland, and I've seen no research on this.
Actually, Loose Change from Dylan, Corey, and Jason. Yeah, Loose Change Second Edition focused on that a lot. I actually spoke with the reporter, or the woman who worked for, I forget the organization, the news organization, but the one who posted that story. And she said that story was a mistake, was a retraction, or was retracted. I don't know if it's true or not. I think that the Loose Change crew said that they interviewed some people who said that the plane did land there, but, you know, to me it makes more sense to use the real planes than to swap the planes, and, you know, and then you're getting into speculation and things that are very difficult to prove. And, you know, I try to avoid those things. But anyway.
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations that we academics often refer to at the end of our academic articles by saying more research is necessary. I do encourage people to research these things. However, as an activist like John, I like to come forward with the most airtight case I can. And the anomalies and questions around Flight 93 and including that alleged landing in Cleveland, one of those gray areas that it certainly is interesting, but it's not the first thing that I would bring up when I was trying to convince somebody who hadn't looked at this before that there was a problem with the official story of 9/11.
Well, Kevin, you and I were talking the other night about, I saw the interview that a radical pragmatist gave of you at the Boston Tea Party. And you said researchers have the right to research whatever they want, and you're absolutely 100% correct. Once you get a voice, once you get on the mainstream, you then become an activist. And at that point, you should promote only the best information. You don't want to give the media, which is our enemy's most powerful weapon against us, ammunition, you know, to bring this movement down or to slow this movement down. I don't think anything's going to bring this movement down. It just keeps growing exponentially. But again, you have to promote the best information.
Yeah, I'm with you there, John. I agree. We got to promote the best evidence that we have. And if researchers want to check out these interesting leads, go for it. We'll be right back in a moment. This is Kevin Barrett talking with John Gold on Truth Jihad Radio.